Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the Astros, I believe, have their first full squad workout today. I think it's
Forrest Whitley there. Just tell me if he showed up or not.
He had not shown up as of yesterday. I saw Dusty Baker saying that, but yeah, boy, I'm sure I'm looking forward to Forrest Whitley showing up here to camp sometime soon. I'm hearing good things. Hopefully he shows up not 50 pounds overweight.
He's in West Palm Beach. Supposedly his arm is ready and he's good to go, but he has to wait to show up for a little while. Okay. And it's not clear whether it's a COVID-related type thing or not. I'm tired of it always being something of Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
Last year he didn't show up ready to throw. And then he missed an appearance or almost missed an appearance because he left his special balls at home or something.
Yeah, I know.
It's always something with Forrest Whitley. I just want it to stop being something always with him.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
I need to confirm this story real quick, Seth, but multiple texters texting in. They found Deion Sanders' stuff.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, update. Deion Sanders' belongings have reportedly been found. So the story I just did in headlines.
Did he misplace his stuff and claim that
maybe,
it was stolen?
I don't want to do any more reporting on this story till I talk to at least two or three sources to find out. But just know that, you know, for the thousands of you that probably went running from your radio after this to go tell your friends that Deion Sanders' things were stolen from his office in Jackson State, they've reportedly been found. He misplaced them. According to SI.com, he misplaced his belongings, but they were recovered during his post-game press conference.
so he's distracted in the post-game press conference. Can barely even talk about his own team because he's so distraught over the lack of security and whatnot.
Yeah.
They need to raise standards.
Proceeded to tell everybody except Deion Sanders that they need to raise their standards. And it turns out the only one who was wrong in this story is Deion Sanders in this
one. We got him up in here saying the ceiling is the roof, and he's the guilty party himself.
Right, right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, shortly after Sanders shared this, Jackson State officials told SI.com's Ross Dellinger that Sanders' belongings had not actually been stolen. They were simply misplaced after being relocated for safekeeping.
Oh,
so actually,
watching out for him.
Yeah, in a way, they are doing their job better. They're taking your things, which you may have left sitting there in plain sight on your desk with the door open, and putting it somewhere where they're not going to get stolen.
It's so hard to concentrate when you think something's been stolen from you, though. It's really, I can't criticize Deion in that matter. And then it's almost impossible to think rationally or straight. You're angry, but you're concerned for your stuff. You're trying not to overreact. So I give Deion a pass on this one.
Amy and I were walking around this weekend on Saturday. We were kind of scouting out different grocery stores near our place so we could buy some supplies for Kids Meals Houston. To put some meals together for them. By the way, text Kids Meals to 20357 if you want to donate. It's a great cause. So we went from...
Oh.
What?
I'm sorry. Oh, go ahead. Finish this, and then I've got more updates.
Well, I was just going to back up being nervous when you lose your wallet or you think you've lost. Yeah. We got to Target, and we had a bunch of stuff we were going to buy, and I went to go pay, and I touched my pocket on my left-hand side, which is where I keep my wallet. You pickpockets out there, don't listen to me there. I keep it in my right pocket. But I didn't have it. And we were at the Target that's like a mile from our building. And I'm like, I drop all the stuff I had gotten at Target in the basket. And I start making a beeline to walk home because I'm like, crap, did I lose my... You're right. When you lose your wallet, you want a remedy immediately. It's very stressful. Amy's like, you're practically running home. I'm like, I know. I need to see if my wallet's at home. It's very stressful.
There's, there's way more evidence that Jackson State does need some cleaning up, Sean, because now we have evidence of a cover-up.
Oh.
Because Wade Smith just texted this to me. Dion tweeted, "Whomever put out the lie that my belongings wasn't stolen is lying." Boy, that is a rare case of using whomever, but then also the wrong form of wasn't. Wasn't stolen.
Is he still a good
lying.
Recruiter, Seth? Yeah. That's all that matters.
My belongings were taken. That's a typo because he goes on to say, "My belongings were taken out of a zipped bag in my office. And more items were taken as well from my office. We have retrieved them since being reported. My staff member witnessed the crime. Hashtag truth."
Wow.
So there's a cover-up at Jackson State.
Okay.
The higher-ups, you know how these higher-ups are.
Yeah.
These higher-ups didn't want to besmirch the good name of Jackson State where this crime did occur. And they tried to make Dion look like he was the overreacting one.
Yeah.
When, in fact, Dion's stuff was stolen. And then later was recovered. I need to find out who stole the St. Dion stuff.
Do we need to name this? Is this a gate? Is this officially a gate? What is this? Prime Gate? Dion Gate?
Thank God I had Omen necklaces.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, it was stolen, but they got it back. It was stolen out of my personal bag in my office, and my assistant caught the gentleman. Oh, so they did find it in the process of stealing it, but she was alone. No miscommunication, my man, at all. He was telling this to Stephen Gaither, whom I'm guessing is the writer who reported all this stuff.
Okay.
Dion's hot, and for good reason.
Yeah.
So his assistant, his personal assistant, and God bless her, I'm glad she was probably terrified. She comes across, I'm guessing it was quiet and alone during the game was going on. That's that scary moment where a woman finds a man committing a crime and she's got to be peeing her pants over it.
Yep.
But at least she presumably saw who it was.
Yeah.
And I hope the scoundrel is brought to justice.
Yeah.
And by justice, I mean, I hope Dion makes him run bleachers. Until he gets the, what's that thing that the Iowa strength coach, the rhabdomyolysis. I hope he gets the rhabdomyolysis from a Dion sprint session.
That was impressive. People texting in, "Damn it, guys, the breaking news buzzer gives me PTSD." I didn't mean to scare you guys. I was just trying to be humorous about it. Someone said, "You SOB spike my heart above 200 beats per minute with the breaking news alert. I thought Watson was gone." Now, no, just to be clear, we have two different breaking news alerts. We've got one, the one we just played, which is a generic one. But Seth, do we have the Houston Texans one? If Deshaun Watson gets traded, you'll hear this one right here.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Yeah, that'll be the one you
hear.
Oh, okay,
so that's Houston Texans breaking news.
We have two separate ones. We have one for regular news and one for Texans news.
We probably have hit our quota on misusing the breaking news sounder. I don't want to do that anymore because remember I did it earlier when I determined that the Browns head coach Stefanski was actually quite handsome. So that was probably the most egregious misuse of the breaking news.
At least there are actual news stories about the thing that I just played it for.
We won't do that anymore. And thank you to Wade Smith for alerting me to Deion Sanders being exonerated.
Indeed. All right, let's drop a phone call in. If you want to get in, 713-572-4610. John is in LaPorte. John, you are up on Payne and Pendergast. Happy Monday to you.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I've been trying to get this play. Good morning. I've been trying to get this question in for a while. Ever since the news broke on Deshaun Watson wanting out, I believe I remember you guys saying that every team in the NFL, practically every team in the NFL, should look at their situation and see what they could do to acquire Deshaun Watson. But I haven't heard anything about Tom Brady for Deshaun Watson. I think that Tampa Bay would be smart to try to pursue Deshaun Watson, and I just wanted to see what y'all's thoughts were.
Oh, right. Thanks, I like that. I really like that. We haven't heard anybody say that.
Does Tom Brady say yes to coming to play for Patriots South?
Does he have a no trade clause? Now, Tom Brady, the problem is Tom Brady could very easily, let's pretend, I'm not even going to look it up. Let's pretend that Tom Brady doesn't have a no trade clause.
Okay.
I'm guessing there's not a chance in hell that he doesn't just retire if the Bucks tried to trade Tom Brady to
that's the thanks you get if you're Tom Brady for leading them to a Super Bowl. You get traded to the Texans.
That would be awesome, because Brady, for one, has made a good amount of money in his own life. Giselle, his wife, has made, I think, even more than Brady has made.
Yeah.
So they're doing just fine. I don't think neither of them are doing as well as Kanye and Kim combined.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing better in their marriage than Kanye and Kim.
Yeah, they're getting divorced.
Yeah. So I think that Kanye and Kim are both, they might both be independently billionaires.
They could
so
be.
So that's a pretty damn impressive marriage right there, a former marriage.
They have a prenup, too, I'm told. I read a lot of the stories over the weekend about that. So they do have a prenup.
When Kanye married her, was she already as rich as Kanye? It was like 2012. It wasn't. So she was already pretty well established.
Oh, yeah. I
bet they were both equally rich at that point.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think that's possible. I guess it's way more likely that maybe J.J. Watt finds himself up in Tampa. But even there, the problem with Tampa right now is Tampa has salary cap snugness. And they've got some pretty quality free agents. Chris Godwin, the receiver, Levante David, Shaq Davis, the pass
rusher. Shaq Barrett, yeah.
Shaq Barrett, excuse me. Too many Shaqs in this league.
Yep.
Shaq Barrett. And they're going to try to re-sign those guys. So they've got their hands full just signing all those guys. So the chance of either Deshaun Watson or J.J. Watt going there probably pretty slim.
Tom Brady, full no-trade clause, and he's not even allowed to be franchise-tagged either. So he's got sorts of power. No big surprise. He signed the deal last year. So, all right.
What about Tom Brady next year? Is there any chance that the Texans could get their stuff? Come on. Sean, what? You don't think?
Not going to happen.
You don't think that Tom Brady's dream is to go play for David Culley?
That anybody who thinks that's a nitwit.
I wonder what Brady thinks of Easterby.
What does Brady think of? I don't know. Well, Brady's kind of susceptible to little soothsayers himself.
A little bit.
His Alex Guerrero there, his personal trainer, was a subject of much scrutiny.
One NFL owner.
His look, as much as we say about Easterby, Tom Brady's little personal trainer there, like, got charged for claiming that he had a supplement that cured cancer, Sean.
Yes.
Like, he was a genuine snake handler.
He had concussion water.
Concussion water.
Concussion water.
With misspellings in the ads and everything.
Who noticed? Yeah. One NFL owner who is, quote, hell-bent on landing Deshaun Watson. That's next. All right, so the one team that seems to be picking up steam for Deshaun Watson, the Broncos are the betting favorite, but boy, the Panthers. Seth, when the owner gets involved, that's where I start to really take notice. And David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, according to an article on The Athletic from Joseph Person, is hell-bent. David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, is hell-bent on getting Deshaun Watson to be his quarterback. I think we need to understand just the 15-second version of David Tepper's background. He bought the team from Jerry Richardson 3 seasons ago. He's heading into his fourth full season as the owner of the team. He's a hedge fund billionaire. So
He's the richest NFL owner.
That's saying something.
Which is kind of a big deal. There's a lot of rich ones.
Yeah. So
I wonder if he lords it over all those paupers when he goes to the meetings. He like sneers. I'd look down my nose at him. Like, who the hell are you, Arthur Blank?
I wonder if he constructs an actual ivory tower outside the Carolina Stadium.
Why not?
Yeah.
He'd probably just like kill the elephants on site.
That's
who's gonna stop him?
He's made of pure ivory.
Killing elephants and bribing officials as he goes along.
Tuskless elephants running around the facility.
I've watched The Tiger King. I know how all this works.
Yep. So the Carolina Panthers, and I guess the tell, maybe, that they're gearing up for this. I want to see if you buy this line of thinking, Seth, but just so people know, Kwon Short is a defensive tackle who they let go middle of last week.
Kwon.
They let 3 more players go over the weekend. Stephen Weatherly, a defensive end. Their punter, Michael Pallardy, and Trey Boston, safety. Yeah.
So Boston, one of those curious safeties from a couple years ago. Remember when no safeties were getting signed and the Panthers like took on all it was like the home for wayward safeties.
Yes.
Because nobody would sign Trey Boston, the Panthers took him in. Nobody would sign Eric Reed, the Panthers took him in.
That's right. And now they're gone. So So I guess they cleared up about $20 million in cap space, the Panthers did. They cleared up a bunch of cap space, which led to a lot of people connecting the dots that they were doing this to prepare for Deshaun Watson arriving. And I guess the one glitchy thing I have with this, Seth, is Deshaun's cap hit is not all that big in 2021. There's not a lot of there's not a ton of shuffling around that needs to be done to get Deshaun in your doors in 2021. It's 2022 and beyond where it starts to get really pricey to be the employer for Deshaun Watson.
Which is still, I mean, it all, I don't get too wrapped up in individual years for the salary cap because it all rolls over. So, I mean, there's different ways you can. So clearing space now effectively in some ways helps clear space out into the future. It just gives you, it gives you room to work and room to move.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so even if you're bringing on Deshaun, you also presumably want to still, you know, create a better team elsewhere. They have, look, they have Robbie Anderson, who's got extreme deep speed, and they didn't have a quarterback this year that could really take advantage of it, and Robbie Anderson still did some good things. And Deshaun, I think, would work really well with him. The whole thing about Tepper, the owner, that's interesting is he seems to be one of these guys that might get talked about more and more as time goes on, because he was at the Senior Bowl watching the quarterbacks. There's been rumors that, hey, maybe they really like Mac Jones, given where they are in the draft. That he gave Matt, look, he gave Matt Rhule a 7-year contract worth $60 million to be the head coach. He's not going to be slowed down by expenses. And I guess the big question is that aggressive mindset. How much does it extend to trading for quarterbacks or doing whatever it takes to trade up in the draft to get a quarterback? Deshaun Watson is definitely being talked about with the Carolina Panthers.
It would make sense. He'd be going back to where he experienced all of his success collegiately. I would imagine he's a hero in that part of the country to football fans there. Carolina fancies themselves to be not just North Carolina's team, but the team for both Carolinas. If you look at their logo, it's in the shape of North and South Carolina. So Deshaun, and I would imagine a lot of Clemson fans would love to have Deshaun back in the Carolinas. That's got to be the biggest adjustment for a guy like Tepper, Seth, is that in real life, he can basically just snap his fingers and get whatever it is he wants. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as constraint with him. If I want a new jet, I snap my fingers and I get a new jet. If I want this in my own business, if I want, I mean, I've got revenue out the wazoo. I'm worth billions and billions of dollars. I can get whatever I want. That's got to be the biggest adjustment for him to be going, you know what I want? I want a franchise quarterback and I want it now. Okay, well, here's the thing, Dave. Sorry, Mr. Tepper. You only get X amount of draft picks that you can trade. By the way, you can only trade them 3 years into the future. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, there's this thing called a salary cap. So I know you want to pay Deshaun Watson, once he gets here, $150 million a year, just so you never have to deal with what the Texans are dealing with right now. But you can't do that. You need to manage this.
Yeah, I don't. You know, the thing about Tepper, though, is that he is very much into the analytics, and he is a numbers guy, and he's a hedge fund guy. I think a guy like him probably actually relishes all the challenges, you know,
the chess game.
Like trying to play that shell game of trying to figure out exactly how to put all the money where and how to get around or be as creative as possible with all of it. And I think he probably, like, this is how it is in the NBA. A lot of these hedge fund guys get into it and they start feeling like, man, these mom and pop operations don't know what the hell they're doing, and we're gonna outsmart everybody. And eventually, hubris gets a lot of them. Hubris ends up doing a lot of them in because they don't know what they don't know. Tepper strikes me as a guy that's actually has an appropriate amount of humility, and I think wants to learn the game and everything. But he also doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to be patient. So it might very well, even though there are a lot of rosier destinations that make more sense, it might just simply come down to, look, owner versus owner, you know? And is Dave Tepper going to figure out a way to make this happen and perhaps appeal to Deshaun Watson and his people and convince, I say owner versus owner, maybe it's a matter of Tepper convincing Cal McNair that this is the right thing for the Texans. Maybe it's the right thing to, you know, that he can paint a rosy picture for Cal as to how they'll move forward if they do this deal.
That's interesting. Okay. We know that with a lot of decisions historically with the Texans, maybe with Cal, certainly with his father, that there were certain decisions that were above the pay grade of even the general manager, right, that Bob McNair back in the day had input on. I would assume that this J.J. Watt decision to just release J.J. Watt was deep down maybe not exactly what Nick Caserio would have liked to have done. You know, he might have – he didn't have a relationship with J.J. Watt. He probably would have liked to have tried to get a third-round pick for J.J. Watt that would help him do his job better, Nick Caserio, that is. Who do we think is steering the ship on the Deshaun Watson stuff?
You know, it comes to quarterback stuff,
yeah,
owners usually get involved. Like it's even the ones that are very hands off. When it starts getting down to the quarterback, the owners all of a sudden get very involved and very interested. So I don't know if it's a matter of who's steering the ship, but who. I think I know what you're asking here. Is this a situation where one owner, instead of GMs talking to GMs, this is owner talking to owner?
That, and if ultimately there's a conversation where Caserio and Cal McNair sit down, understanding fully that Easterby will be standing in a shadow in the corner of the room somewhere, and there's a conversation to be had where Caserio goes, look, Cal, we've looked at this thing 10 different ways, and right now the draft is next week. I know you don't want to hear this, but the best thing to do is to look at these offers that we're getting for Deshaun right now.
Yeah.
And if Cal is of mind, though, that he wants to hang on to Deshaun, does he trust Nick Caserio that Caserio's decision is the right one if it runs totally contrary to his?
I guess the bigger question is, well, has Caserio cleared this with Easterby first? Does Easterby know that
out
Caserio,
that he's in the room?
Does Easterby, wait, he is in the room?
He's in the room. Yeah, he's just standing there in the corner, though, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's cleared it with Easterby first. Yeah. If he's presenting, I hope he knows. Nick, if you're listening right now, I would highly suggest that you clear it with Easterby first before you present this to if you wanted it to have any chance of succeeding. So, I think he does. I think at this point, I think the Texans have pretty well demonstrated that they're not necessarily going to be swayed by public sentiment.
Yeah.
Right. They're willing to make unpopular moves. In some respects, McNair has chosen Easterby over various people in the organization or formerly of the organization. I think if Easterby is given the go-ahead and his new GM is given the go-ahead, that he's probably going to do what he thinks those guys think is best for the organization.
Yeah, and I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, at this point, is Nick Caserio that beholden to keeping Deshaun Watson, or is he just the greatest poker player in the world? We'll dig into that and some proposals that Peter King puts out there that I would hang up on immediately. That's next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're warm again. Hope your power's all back on. It was nice to be able to, you know, open the windows and enjoy a 55-degree day yesterday. I took it. I was happy to do that.
I like seeing women in turtlenecks and stuff, though, too.
You do?
When women all bundled up. It's a good look on women.
A little mystery, yeah. I can see that.
This is the winter look, which is still, we are Houston. 55 is cause for wearing a full-length mean coat, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
I had a short-sleeve t-shirt on yesterday outside just because I've been so hardened by the cold weather the previous week. It was damn near tropical yesterday.
You're like, you might as well be one of those like bros that's snowboarding in cut-off denim shorts and no shirt.
Bro. I want to be a bro. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so from Peter King's Football Morning in America column this morning, Houston is not only not interested in trading Deshaun Watson, but also not interested in listening to offers for him. At least two teams have given offers to Houston and gotten zero feedback, like no reaction, no, we'll get back to you, nothing. So, Seth, the question, is Nick Caserio that beholden to keeping Deshaun Watson, or do we think he's just the greatest poker player in the world right now? I guess this is a fancy way of saying, do we still think Deshaun Watson could get moved before the draft, I suppose?
I think they're in that very enviable position as a negotiator where you genuinely don't want to do something. At some point, you might be forced to because the offer's too good and you feel like that Deshaun's not going to come back no matter what. That's when there's a sweet spot where, okay, the timing is right. I really don't want to do this, but I got to do it. And then maybe you end up getting a really, really good deal. If they were entertaining and chatting and talking right now, then I don't know. They'd still probably get a good deal because then it would be like blood in the water, right? Yeah. Everybody would say they might be able to create some auction-like effect. But I think they genuinely, they understand. Look, Casario's not an idiot, I don't think. And he gets and understands that he's not going to go out and find another Deshaun Watson. So they have to exhaust every possible avenue for getting him back on board and getting him involved. And they've got months to do so. Draft isn't until the end of April. So you got 2.5 months, which is really your first opportunity to potentially get a really, really good trade offer. And then, look, you can go after that. It might get ugly. It might get messy. You might not get the best trade value. But I think that's your – if you look at the risk-reward, okay, the chances that A – what are the best chances to win a Super Bowl? Is it A, with Deshaun Watson, my quarterback, or B, with a bunch of future Texans quarterbacks who I don't know who they are yet? It's A. So exhaust all your resources to try to get A, because that's your bird in the hand. And then if that doesn't work out, go after B.
Well, so here's what I wonder, because I've been saying the draft is the key date this whole time, but free agency begins on March 17th. That's the beginning of the league year. So I think the legal tampering period is a couple days before that. Let's call it March 15th. It's the middle of March sometime. March 15th. Seth, in a weird way, is that a key date in the Deshaun Watson potential trade talks? Maybe not so much for the Texans, but for teams that are making offers because they want to be able to go into free agency with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback to put their best foot forward in getting free agents. If you're a free agent, you're going to be more likely to sign with a team that's got Deshaun Watson locked down as the quarterback than you are, you know, if you're Carolina, let's say, and you're trying to court free agents, you got a better chance of landing a key free agent or two if Deshaun Watson's your quarterback than if you're going, we're going to take Trey Lance with the 8th pick in the draft. So in a weird way, does the middle of March become a potential date where the Texans could all of a sudden see a flood of big offers from teams that are wanting to get their house in order before free agency starts?
Maybe, but that would only be one or two teams at most, because I think for the most part, the concept of a dream team has been so thoroughly debunked that it's not the wisest way to go about it, that I think most general managers out there will think, okay, yeah, we're going to try to make a play for Deshaun Watson, but that's independent of all this other stuff. So, but all it takes is one or two potentially. And that if you can create that kind of feeding frenzy type of feel of, yeah, hey, this is the dream team, this is where you want to be, maybe there's something to that. I wouldn't expect it, especially because of the cap. I mean, it's just teams are going to have room except for a few teams. I mean, for the most part, teams are going to have room to be aggressive for one or two guys. But I don't think there's going to be a team out there that thinks, yeah, we're going to get Deshaun Watson and a bevy of free agents.
Yeah, I guess I'm not even thinking like marquee free agents. I'm just thinking the ones that you see as just sort of role players, but they're going to look at Carolina, let's say, all of a sudden with Deshaun Watson as like, man, that's where I want to go, because now all of a sudden I can go to Carolina. I might have a chance to win a Super Bowl there. This team looks totally different.
Yeah, I guess the number of players who are making those decisions based on that is so small too.
Yeah.
It's still usually mostly about the money.
Yeah,
and the destinations, like the way the Patriots were back in the day. Have we seen another team that's quite like that? I mean, Tampa might be that team this year, and it's all about Tom Brady. There's plenty of other good quarterbacks out there that don't get that destination quality, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, I don't think any of those teams were ever looked at as like, wow, that's the destination, that's where I'm going, that's my spot to get the ring.
Yeah.
Not in quite the way it was with New England.
So Peter King puts together a few sample proposals for teams that may be the teams that are calling the Texans right now. He said two teams have called, and they've gotten no response from the Texans about trading Deshaun Watson. I just wanted to go through, Seth, and you tell me. I'm going to make you Nick Caserio here.
Okay.
So I am the general manager, Peter King, for the Carolina Panthers, and I'm calling you up with the following offer. Hey, Seth, this is a 7-for-1 deal, all right? 7 assets for Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, Teddy Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson,
okay,
and first and second round picks in 2021, a first round pick in 2022, and I'll even throw in a third round pick in 2023 in exchange for Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
So, Seth, where do you want to sign on these papers here?
How much of McCaffrey's salary are you going to be paying me?
None. Why would
okay,
I pay
Okay, well,
you?
No, I'm not taking on that contract. Christian McCaffrey can – Liz, how about this? How about this? You pay half of his salary unless he stays healthy for the next 36 games. And then we'll talk after that. I've got to make up this David Johnson money somehow. Okay?
Yeah. If your point here is that I don't even view Christian McCaffrey really as a real player in a trade like this, I'm with you on that. He's a great player when he's healthy, but he wasn't healthy last year and he makes way too much money. Yeah. And if you're the Texans, if you're trading Deshaun Watson, by the time you're good again, Christian McCaffrey's going to be washed.
Look, the guy that used to pay way too much for running backs is now at Alabama.
He don't live here anymore.
Yeah, he's calling plays down there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So, no. How about no? Also, let's see, your Teddy Bridgewater. How about can I get him for just the first half of the season when he showed some promise as opposed to the second half of the season when he fell off a cliff?
You got to take the whole thing. Sorry.
Okay. How about will you pay me $1 million for each interception that he throws?
Stop trying to
get more stuff. What the hell am I going to do with a Teddy Bridgewater? No. We're talking Tom Brady here, and you're throwing Teddy Bridgewater at me? No, I reject this trade. Stupid Panthers.
There's a recurring thing, a theme with Peter King's trade proposals. He tries to position them as, hey, it's 7-for-1, huh? When, meanwhile, like, three of the things in the trade suck. Like, I don't want Teddy Bridgewater's not an asset in that deal. I can get a stopgap quarterback, by the way, for way less than Teddy Bridgewater makes salary-wise.
Peter King is out there extolling the affordability of saltines right in front of the Girl Scout cookie display.
Yes.
He's like, well, why would I buy Girl Scout cookies when I can get four times as many saltine crackers?
Right. That's right. That's
stupid
right.
little girls.
That is a good analogy that I feel like speaks to our audience. Okay, here we go, Seth. I'm the GM for the New York Jets. Peter King, and I call you up, Caserio, and I say, hey, I got a 6-for-1 deal for you.
Okay.
Sam Darnold, Quinnen Williams.
Oh, all right.
The second overall pick in the draft coming up here. The hire of our two first-round picks next year, and a second-round pick this year, which is the 34th overall, and a second-round pick in 2023 in exchange for Deshaun Watson. So four draft picks, two of them first-rounders and one a high second-rounder, plus Quinnen Williams and Sam Darnold. And, oh, by the way, we'll take Whitney Mercilus off your hands as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did he say that? Or did?
Yes, at the very end.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Okay. So that's
it's really 6-for-2 then.
So that's two firsts and how many twos?
Two firsts and two seconds.
Plus, including this year's number two overall, and Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
That sweetens the pot quite a bit. Sam Darnold, how much of his salary are you paying for that?
Well,
not that he has a huge salary, but I refuse to pay Sam Darnold's
on his
salary.
Rookie deal, none. You're going to have to pay his whole salary. Sorry.
Has he been tested for mono or any other STDs
We will test
lately?
Him for mono before we send. Yes, we will put him through our physical before you put him through your physical.
We're very, very strict about disease prevention down here in Houston. We don't need any mononucleosis
I like that better than Carolina's trade.
I'm liking that better than Carolina. I still need another first rounder in there. I know the number two overall is beautiful and all that stuff, but I'm going to need another first round pick, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. All right. Last one here. San Francisco 49ers.
No.
It's a deal that involves Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, linebacker Fred Warner.
Oh, yeah, Fred Warner.
Oh no, here it is. 7-for-1. So Fred Warner, tackle Mike McGlinchey, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
First round picks in 2021 and 2022.
Why is he throwing in Mike McGlinchey?
I don't know. This is
Peter
King.
What the hell is that? Like, hey, everybody loves offensive tackles. Hey.
Does he not know that the Texans, that's the one area of the team where they've actually invested some capital and have some decent talent there.
They're hoping that Titus Howard really develops into something. They're like, yeah, you're definitely not just bailing on it. Now, maybe you move Titus Howard down to guard. But
I was just
going
to ask you that. Do you move Titus Howard to guard and you make Mike? Now you've got Mike McGlinchey, who, by the way, you'd have to pay pretty soon big money to. He's coming off.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want $40 million invested in your two offensive tackles? That's
to protect your fragile now Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback.
Right.
I honestly,
you may need
I think
to
I'd
arm
rather
them
have,
with actual guns to protect
I'd rather,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I might want to rather take an overpaid running back than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I think he's injury prone. I don't think he's all that as a quarterback to begin with.
Yeah.
And no, I wholeheartedly reject this. How many draft picks was it?
It was two firsts. A second and a third.
You know what we have to brace ourselves for? I think it's very easy to sit here and say, boy, all these trade suggestions are stupid. Man, I can't believe that's what they think Deshaun Watson would go for.
Yeah.
It might end up being something
it
just
might
like
be
this.
As good as it gets. Yeah, Seth, that's a great point because the value for Deshaun Watson is going to be the true value for Deshaun Watson is going to be a price that either teams are going to look at and go, I can't gut my team like this, or the rules in the NFL just won't allow it. Honestly, the rules in the NFL only allowed you to trade three drafts out. So 2021, yeah. 2022, and 2023. The fact of the matter is Deshaun Watson is probably worth like five or six first round picks. You're just not allowed to do that under the rules.
Now, you could come to a deal in principle where Texans cap said he's pretty sure that once the draft starts, then you can trade off into 2024. So if you agreed to a deal in principle before the draft that says, hey, once the draft starts, then we'll execute this trade and that'll include a 2024 draft, then maybe you could start getting four first-round picks into the equation a little bit more easily. That's a whole long time of sitting around waiting and hoping the other side doesn't screw you over.
Big time.
But it happens. I mean, they do that. They come up with those deals. Same thing. Well, sometimes in free agency, those deals fall through.
Yeah.
Remember, that's what happened with Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas had the deal with Indianapolis, then all of a sudden decided, you know what? No, Baltimore looks a little better.
Hey, technically, these Stafford and Goff trades and the Wentz trade, these aren't official for like another 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean?
The
like,
trades
what,
aren't.
What if Carson Wentz slips and falls on his way to the Wawa or something like that up in Philadelphia, on his way to Tony Luke's cheesesteaks? He slips and falls.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
There's somebody, I've heard two people say this, and maybe one person was just repeating what they heard from the other person, but since I've heard it from two people, a notion that perhaps Carson Wentz will be better in Indianapolis because, darn it, people are just friendlier in Indy than they are in mean old Philadelphia. And my first thought was, these people booed Andrew Luck off the field his last time at Lucas Oil Field. Are these friendly people in Indiana? I think there's this notion that somehow people in Indiana are like the, you know, God's people or somehow, and they're all just out there, whittling a stick on a porch and doing good deeds for, this is a miserable state, Indiana.
Yeah.
You think that Carson Wentz is going to be happy with a bunch of people out there that are out there either alternately screwing or stabbing their cousins at any given moment? No. That's not his kind of deal.
What, can I just ask you something? Why does the rest of the AFC South, why do you categorize their cities as being inbred and sleeping with their cousins all the time?
Statistics? Sorry. Sorry if I believe in science, Sean. Like, what the hell?
Okay, I was just checking. Yeah.
Sean, I know we live in a world now where basically anybody can put anything on social media and you can say, oh, it's a lie.
Right.
Fake news.
Right.
Yeah, I base mine on hard science.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this just to answer your question about Carson Wentz. If my quarterback has to play somewhere and perform at a high level, and part of him performing at a high level is because the fans are nicer in that city, I'm never going to win a Super Bowl with that quarterback. Like, if you're so fragile mentally that you need to play in a city where the people are nicer, I'm never winning a Super Bowl with that quarterback. Like, that, what does that say about your ability to respond to adversity that I'm going to play better because the people are nicer? Even if the narrative is false.
Yeah.
That we're sitting here talking about this, like, then no. Then no. I mean, he may put up better stats, but eventually he's going to have to come across a moment or two where the adversity represents something similar to people saying mean things about you on the radio in Philadelphia, and at that point, you are going to wilt if you're Carson Wentz. So, there you go.
I'm looking up the high school graduation rates. Not that there aren't plenty of – my mom dropped out of high school, and she's one of the smartest people I know. Both Indiana and Tennessee are below the median.
I just love how personal it is for you with those two particular cities.
What's Texas's, you ask? On to the next topic, yeah. Sean. We got to go to break.
We do have to go to a break, actually.
Yeah.
We're up against it, conveniently enough. Hey, we're asking for your help here at Sports Radio 610 to help out some kids who need to be fed. The Kids Meals Houston lost power during the winter storm, and they had to throw out all their entire inventory of food. If you're wondering who they are a nonprofit that feeds children under the age of 6 who don't have access to school-based free meals due to extreme poverty. We want to help them get back to normal. And you guys did a great job over the weekend. I went by their facility on Saturday, and they said the response has been amazing, but they need more. They've got to get back to normal here. There's thousands of kids that need to be fed. Kids Meals is what you can text, all one word, to 20357 to make a donation. Or you can do what Amy and I did. You can do what Clint and Lauren did, Clint Sterner and his soon-to-be bride, Lauren, they did over the weekend. We put a bunch of meals together for them. There's instructions on how to do it. It's really easy. Just brown bag, couple snacks, and a drink in there. You can go see what the list of food is that's acceptable at sportsradio610.com. And we thank you in advance. If you want to donate, Kids Meals, 20357. It's a great cause. All right. Up next, the chances that we get full stadiums this fall for the NFL. The ripple effect could be huge, and we'll tell you what the chances are. The latest on that, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.